Joseph, God bless you.
God bless you.
Today, you said you were going to give a message about the second beast from Revelation 13. This is a very, very intriguing figure, a very intriguing personage here, which I never really had anyone explain to me. Who is he exactly, the second beast from Revelation 13?
It's a beast.
Yeah, but what kind of a beast? What does he do? What's his purpose? What does he mean? I mean, I really am looking forward to this message, to explaining clearly about this second beast from Revelation 13. And in the same time, another thing that is very puzzling for me, in Revelation 13 there are two beasts. First comes from the sea, and the second beast, which is what we will talk about today, comes from the earth. This is so symbolic that I really don't understand what it means. So can you please explain to us these things?
Amen. Amen, amen. Well, I don't think anybody understands everything perfectly, you know, because even though in the end time, as God promised the prophet Daniel, the prophecies were going to be opened. God said that to Daniel in his book, chapter 12. And now the prophecies are being opened to any of us, God's children, who, having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, applies his heart, mind, and souls and spirit to the study of God's word. Always God opens the word unto us, the condition that we really put our full heart into it, and we're not superficial. So God is opening these truths unto us, but it's not that we know everything. Now I'm going to share what the Lord has opened to me, and not only to me, to others also. And about the two beasts, yes, there are two beasts in Revelation 13. One is called a beast, which comes from the sea. You can see that at the beginning of Revelation 13. And the other is called another beast, verse 11. So one comes from the sea, and the other comes from the earth.
Is that literally sea and earth, or no?
No, it's like, what is the sea? Well, the first beast comes from the sea, and what's the sea? We see in Revelation 17, verse 15, that the sea represents people, tongues, multitudes. So this means that this guy, this beast, which of course we understand by the whole chapter, Revelation 13, is the Antichrist.
So the first beast is the Antichrist.
It's the Antichrist. He's so called in 1 John 2, verse 18. Okay, he's called the beast in Revelation chapter 11, 12, 13, and 17. And so he comes from the sea because he comes from the people. You know, to give an example, Hitler came from the people. He was not a dictator who took over the government by a coup. No, he was elected. He was elected leader of the National Socialist Party, abbreviated Nazism. He was elected the leader of this party by the majority of one vote. And then eventually he was elected Chancellor of Germany by President of Germany after that the Reichstag, the parliament in Berlin burned up, and they falsely accused the communists. In reality, historians revealed that it was actually the Nazis who burned it. So to create an emergency, so Germany would be desperate enough, so they would need a savior, and the most radical savior, the most radical one around, being Hitler. So the history will repeat again, the same story. Hitler came from the people. So that means that the Antichrist, this beast, the first beast, will come from the people. It will come from the nation. It will have the support of the nation. In fact, it says in Revelation 13, the first few scriptures, it says that the whole world wandered after the beast. The Antichrist is not going to force himself on the world. A world that has rejected Christ, it will only be left with the Antichrist.
So the first beast is the Antichrist and comes from the sea, which you say Revelation 17, 15 is the people.
Yes.
And then the second beast, which we're going to talk about today, this intriguing figure, comes from the earth.
Yes.
What does that
mean? We've been talking about the past about this guy. He's a second beast. He comes from the earth. So
literally earth?
Yeah, literally. He comes from the earth.
What do you mean from the earth?
Well, it's like it means that... I can read this on scripture. He basically, also the Antichrist comes from the earth. Alright, they both.
But he comes from the sea, you said.
Well, later, because the sea represents a people. But you see, the Antichrist is a devil, so his spirit is coming from the, he comes from the earth. In fact, he comes from the bottomless pit, because the spirits of the Antichrist, as well as the false prophets, right now they are prisoners in the bottomless pit. You understand? How do we know that? Well, let's read some scripture here. Look, if we go to Revelation 11. Okay, we start with the first beast, okay?
Yeah, that actually explained in a previous teaching about that the Antichrist comes from the bottomless pit.
No, we haven't explained this yet. We just mentioned. Maybe we just went through it quick, maybe, but we didn't go deep. So listen, if you go to Revelation 11, verse 7, it says, he's talking about, of course, the two witnesses, God's witnesses, who will prophesy during the tribulation against the kingdom of the Antichrist. And then Revelation 11, verse 7, the beast, the Antichrist, kills them. And it shows here in the scripture where exactly the beast, the Antichrist, comes from. Look, here it is. I'll read it to you. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, that's the testimony of the two witnesses after 3.5 years, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So even though in Revelation 13 we read that the Antichrist comes from the sea, see in Revelation 13 verse 1, right, it says, stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Okay, he's elected by the people. All right, he's actually elected by 10 nations. We can see that in Revelation chapter 17. There are nations who elect him, who support him as a king. These 10 nations, we see them in Revelation 17, verse 12. It says, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have not received the kingdom yet, but receive power as king 1 hour with the beast. In other words, 42 months, a short period. 13, they have one mind and shall give the power and strength unto the beast. So these 10 horns on the head of the dragon, Revelation 17, are actually 10 kings or 10 kingdoms or 10 nations, all right? And they will give the power to the beast. In other words, they will appoint him as their leader. Okay, this prophecy goes in parallel with Daniel chapter 7. Okay, which talks about the fourth beast with the 10 horns. All right, here is a dragon with 7 heads, 7 worlds empire. So you understand? So he comes from the sea because he's elected by this nation. They appoint him as the leader. But originally, he doesn't start by being elected. He starts from another place. Either he's born from his mother's womb, or he has a father and a mother. Who had a son, and that was him. Well, that's not his case. He comes from the bottomless pit. What does that mean? It means that this is a spirit kept in prison, okay, with the fallen angel, with the demons, in the bottomless pit. And God sets him free, so the spirit comes out and possesses a politician, okay, who is an ungodly, wicked politician, deceiving. And this politician becomes, the devil in the flesh, becomes possessed by the spirits of the Antichrist. Understand?
That's the first beast that comes from the earth. But you said also the second beast is the same thing. It comes from the bottomless pit.
Okay, I get also to the second beast. I want to finish with the first one. I have some other scriptures here. See, we see Revelation 9. Okay, we see when the devil is cast down from heaven. Verse 9:1, it said, the fifth angel sounded. It's talking about the period of tribulation here. And so a star fall from heaven. It's not a star. It's symbolic. It's something else. Unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. So it's not just a star or an asteroid or a fallen star. It's a fallen angel. This is the devil. This is Satan. This is a parallel Revelation 12 when verse 7, Archangel Michael makes war against Satan and his angels. And they and Michael and his angel, God's angel, cast out Satan and his fallen angel out of heaven. Revelation 12, verse 7 up. And then when the dragon, he sees himself being cast onto the earth, he persecutes the woman. Okay, verse 14, Revelation 12, 17. Okay, so this scripture, Revelation 9:1, is the devil cast down onto the earth. It's talk about the tribulation here. We understand by the rest of the scripture. And as soon as he's cast down to the earth, he's allowed a key to open the bottomless pit. And that's where the Antichrist and the false prophet come from, as we see in Revelation 11:7. The beast that kills the two prophets, he ascends out of the bottomless pit. When this fallen star, really is a fallen angel, really is Satan, he has authority from God to open the bottomless pit and set free all the demons which has kept prisoners. You can see in the book of Judah, verse 6, it said that God keeps the angels who left the first estate prisoners in chains awaiting for the judgment. Understand? So this prison is in the bottomless pit, which incidentally is the same place where the devil is going to be kept prisoners after the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19. Okay, and the devil, the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophets are cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 19, verse 20. But in the next chapter, Revelation 20, we see verse 1 until 3, the devil is bound in the bottomless pit. Okay, in Greek it's called abusos. It means a bottomless pit. It's a pit without bottom. What does that mean? There is only one place in this planet which is a place without bottom. And that is the center of the earth, because every 12 hours the bottom becomes the roof. And after 12 hours the roof becomes the bottom. So there is no bottom. It's a bottomless pit. Abusos, understand? So these guys, they have kept prisoners in this place, and when Satan is cast down from heaven and he falls onto the earth and he starts the great tribulation, the first thing he does, he sets free all his demons from the bottomless pit by authorization of God, because God is going to give the last testing, because it will be a great period of tribulation like never was before, like Jesus said in Matthew 24. 15 and 21, there shall be great tribulation like never before. The devil is allowed to set free all his demons. They will go into the earth, and what they will do, I expect them to possess everybody who receives the mark of the beast. Okay, so the mark of the beast is like when you mark the cattle with a hot iron. This cow belongs to me. So the mark of the beast is going to be the devil telling God, look, God, this guy rejected you, rejected your Christ, rejected your salvation. They love me, Satan. I'm going to mark them. They are mine. God says, that's the way it is. And that's why as soon as they get mark of the beast, I believe, it doesn't say in the Bible, but I believe they get possessed by the devil and they go beyond their line of recuperation. And that's why it says that the people who see the mark of the beast in Revelation 14, verse 9, it says they go to hell and burn forever. Okay, so I think this is a lot of information about the first beast. Are you satisfied with that?
Yes. So Revelation 13, 11, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, which is the second beast, and you're saying it's the same as the first beast coming out of the bottomless pit.
Yes.
Basically, you're saying it's a spirit.
Yes.
But this beast is also physical, or is just a spirit walking around?
Well, it's a... The spirit is like any other devil. It's like any other. In Revelation 12, God calls Satan and his angels. And so the fallen angels who follow the devil in his rebelliousness, they became demons. And God, he left a few around to separate the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats, the good seeds from the bad seeds. But a lot of them, he saw fit to imprison them in the bottomless pit, awaiting to be set free for a period of 42 months, the Great Tribulation, they're waiting for the great, great destruction of the Battle of Armageddon.
So a spirit will possess the first beast, the Antichrist, and then it is a human being that will be possessed by a spirit. And the same happens with the second beast. It's a spirit that will possess an actual physical person. And who is that?
It can only be like that, because if he comes from the earth, no man can come from the earth, because no human being could live in the earth. See, so it will be a spirit of a demon possessing a guy, a false prophet, and this guy is going to receive, these false prophets are going to receive the wisdom of Satan, okay, and he's going to deceive the world.
Why do you call him a false prophet? So the second beast is a false prophet, you're saying.
Well,
why do you call him that?
Because in Revelation 13, it does not say false prophet, it only says another beast. But we identify him as a false prophet because in Revelation 16:13, he's called false prophet. He says, "Yeah, and out of the mouth of the dragon, I saw three spirits. Out of the mouth of the dragon, or the false prophet, and of the beast, the Antichrist, I saw three spirits of demon coming out." So In Revelation 16:13 is called the false prophet. In Revelation 19 verse 20 is called the false prophet when he's cast into the lake of fire together with the beast, the Antichrist. So it's called false prophet in those two places. Also, it's also called false prophet in Revelation 20 verse 10, where it says that the devil after the millennium is cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophets are there waiting for him in the living room having a cup of coffee.
So the second beast is
hot coffee, very boiling.
So the second beast you're saying is the false prophet by Revelation 16:13. Can you finish Revelation 13:11 explaining, and how do you actually put it together that it's a false prophet?
Well, because it says in Revelation 19:20, it says that the first beast and the false prophet who deceived the people by the miracles was cast into the lake of fire. So we find this reference in connection with Revelation 13, where it says that another beast comes up of the earth in verse 11 and deceives the world by miracles. So by this connection, we know it's talking about the same person.
Okay, so the second beast is possessed by spirit from the bottomless pit, and he becomes the false prophet. So it's a very intriguing figure. Explain to us, what does he do? Who is he?
Right, so this guy is very interesting because in Revelations 13, we see that he has God gives a description as a guy having two horns of a lamb and a mouth of a dragon. So obviously it's a devil camouflaged under the horns of a lamb. We know that in the whole Bible, the lamb represents Jesus Christ or Christianity. So
the false prophet is a Christian?
I believe he's going to be a Christian. Because it has the horns of a lamb. I mean, of course, it could be a Muslim false prophet, a Hindu, whatever.
Exactly. A prophet could be any other religion.
Yes, but not with the horns of a lamb. Because the lamb in the Bible, and we're talking about Bible prophecy here, in the Bible, the lamb represents only Jesus Christ. So if this guy is coming with the horns of a lamb, I believe, it doesn't say in the Bible, but I believe he's going to be a Christian. Why do I believe so? Because the horns of a lamb, again, represents Christianity.
Here in Revelation 13:11, it says, he spake as a dragon. What does that mean?
It means that...
basically, he's a Christian because he has the horns of a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon. It's a contradiction.
He's not a Christian.
What do you mean?
You said something wrong. He's not a Christian. He's going to come camouflage as a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Just like today, you see... A lot of Christian churches that are infested by false prophets and false pastors and false teachers who come with a bunch of horns of lambs on their heads and deceives right and left. They say, look at my horns, see horns of a lamb, believe me, and then they just want their money. But not exactly the money, they really want power, because money is nothing. Nobody cares about money. What people really want is the power that money gives. You see, the devil doesn't want money, he wants the power that money gives. Okay, understand? So it's like if you ask any guy, any of the devil's people, do you prefer money or power? They say, power, please. Because through power, you get money too. So what they really want is power. So
the second beast is camouflaged as a Christian. And here it says he speaks as a dragon. What does that mean?
Okay, I'm getting there. He speaks as a dragon. It's kind of... Adolf Hitler is, for me, is the best teacher when it comes to the devil. He's one of the best devil disciples we ever seen. I believe the devil through Adolf Hitler did all the experiments he needed to do. You know, when they build atomic bombs, these weirdos guys, and they start blowing up for 100 times until they got it down to a nice hellish level. So it's like through Adolf Hitler, the devil did all the experiments he wanted, and now he's going to present his final product, made in hell, of course. And it's going to be the Antichrist. So Adolf Hitler, how did he do? He was speaking. He had the horns of a lamb. You know, you see, you always see him go to church. He would go to the church. He appointed a Protestant bishop. Müller was his name, and he was called the Bishop of the Reich. He was this evangelical bishop, Müller. I've got pictures. You can go on the internet. You can see everywhere, and you can see. Both Protestants and Catholics, they're saluting Heil Hitler with the hands lifting up, you know, And it's sad because in the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church both, there are a lot of good people, sincere people, but so sad that the leader they get sucked in into politics they shouldn't. And so Hitler instrumentalized, he used these guys, these religious leaders as tools. So the false prophet is going to be the same. It's like he's going to be a leader, okay, who will he will be an infiltrated into the church, a false leader who climbs to power of a big world religion, which I even imagine which one, but I'm not going to tell you. He's going to be a leader of a big religion that the whole world is listening to, a respected leader that when he says something, a lot of the world, a lot of the Christians of the world, maybe not all, listen to him. And then we see Revelation 13, that the whole world is listening to this guy.
I wanted to ask you, what's the purpose of this false prophet? I mean, what does the devil use him for?
It's like, quote-unquote, the devil's John the Baptist.
He's like, quote-unquote,
the devil's John the Baptist. Okay?
Please explain that.
Yeah, the antithesis, the opposite. It's like Jesus had to have a John the Baptist to prepare the ground for the Messiah. So the devil, who has zero imagination, zero initiative, he can only make bad photocopies, is going to say, okay, if that worked good for Christ, of course it's going to work good for me. But it's going to backfire, he's going to shoot himself in the foot, he's going to end up in hell. So this false prophet is going to prepare the way. Look, in Revelation 13, it says very clear, he will tell the world to make an image to the first beast.
What scripture exactly?
I need to go look for it.
Please do, so the listeners can verify what you're saying.
Okay. So Revelation 13, well, I have a very, you're really checking on me here. Very good. So Revelation 13, somewhere toward the end. And so in verse 14, it says, deceives them. He deceives them, talking about the second beast, the false prophet. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on earth, they should make an image to the beast, etc. Okay, it's here. Is that this one?
Yes. And what does this mean? He'll make an image to the beast. So basically, explain clearly the role of the false prophet of the second beast.
Okay, so the image, it doesn't elaborate any more than that. But there are parallel scriptures in the Bible, for example, in Daniel 11:31, where it talks about the Antichrist, that he will stop the daily sacrifice. I said Daniel 11:31, if you missed it. He will stop the daily sacrifice. Okay, he will set the abomination that makes desolate. And that this abomination, we can see in the following four scriptures until Daniel 11:35, provokes a great tribulation. Persecution against the Christ, they'll be burned, they will be killed, they will be refined, they will be persecuted, they will be imprisoned, they will be burned by fire, great tribulation, with Jesus talking in Matthew 24:15-21. What does it say? Jesus said in verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. So it's not Antiochus Epiphanes, as some teachers teach, already happened the second century BC. No, Jesus says in the future, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then flee to the mountains. Flee. Mountain represents any place you can hide. Right, Debbie? Here's my wife, Deborah. God bless you. Do you have mountains in Denmark?
Not one.
So, all right. So, if you where are you going to go hide in Denmark? You see, the Bible. Sometimes you have to take it literally. Sometimes you have to take it symbolically. How do you know the difference? You know the difference by the other.
I don't know.
By the rest of the scriptures. That's how you know the difference. Okay. So
the false prophet will make an image to the beast with the purpose of what exactly?
Right. So the purpose of controlling the world, because he will also, we read in Revelation 13 that he will give power to this image to speak. So apparently it's not a human, it's not a living creature.
What do you have an idea what this image could be?
I have an idea. I have to give you interpretations. which you can take it or leave it. I believe it's a computer which will control the world, in fact, control the mark of the beast. If everybody in the world is going to receive a mark of the beast, a number, then this day of age to keep under control the numbers of everybody in the world is like you need a computer. So I believe this image is going to be a computer which will reflect, which will be like a mirror of the beast. In other words, the spirit, the mind, the heart, the soul, the demonic thoughts, the demonic intention, the demonic plans, the demonic program of the beast. The Antichrist is all programmed in this machine which reflects the spirit of the beast like an image. In other words, I believe it's going to be a computer which will speak. You know the computer today that can speak, right? The photocopy machine, you click and they talk to you. So this, instead of giving you printed paper, this machine will also be able to give you the same paragraph, the same pages in audio. The machine will speak. See, today the world is already run by computers, okay? Like the meteorology, the weather forecast, the atomic shields, the atomic defense of America and other countries, it's all computerized. Okay, the president of America walks around with a guy carrying a briefcase. What's inside? It's inside a mini computer with the buttons of the codes to start a nuclear war in case they expect that they're always ready, prepared for a surprise attack by China and Russia. And when the president is warned that the enemy countries launch a surprise atomic attack, you only have to click, all right? The code appears, and with the code, click, immediately the American missiles, they go. It's all computerized. When the computer tells you missiles coming, they send their missiles. The computer is already telling the world what to do. There are universities run by computer programs. I have a computer, I have an antivirus, I have all kinds of stuff. I tell you, the computers are already running the world. But guess what? It's not really the computers running it. It's the people who program the computer. So a computer can be programmed to show pornography every 5 minutes. It can be programmed to show you Christian website every 10 minutes. It can be programmed for whatever you want. Understand? So this computer will be programmed to broadcast the message of the Antichrist to bring his, quotes unquote, peace on earth. Understand? So it will speak, and they will control everything. It will tell you who has the mark of the beast, who doesn't, who is a legal, perfectly legal citizen, who is not, and therefore a terrorist, and therefore to be persecuted, and therefore on the blacklist, and therefore when the police stops you in the street, you don't have the mark of the beast, they can say you are illegal, you are under arrest. How do they know? In the police car, they go click. Where do they click? The computer. The little computer in the car, what does it do? It connects to a big computer in the police station, which connects to the World Wide Web, which connects to the national computer, which connects to the world computer, which is under the control of the Antichrist, which I believe is the abomination of desolation, which will be set in the temple, in the Jewish temple, which will be built in Jerusalem, in the place of the daily sacrifice.
So you're saying the image of the beast is the abomination of desolation, and your interpretation is that it will be a computer.
Yes, this is my interpretation, okay? Now.
Okay, interpretation about the computer, but yes. The fact that the image of the beast is the abomination of desolation, is that also an interpretation?
What is the interpretation? I'll tell you honestly, you don't have to believe it. That's your problem. I just don't see any other way around it, but I'll tell you what's Bible, and I'll tell you what's interpretation. Daniel 11:31 says an abomination will be set in the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15 that when you see the abomination, you need to flee. Verse 21, further up, Jesus said, because there'll be great tribulations. In Revelation 13, he said the false prophet will tell the world to make an image to the beast. And the image will cause everybody who does not worship the beast and the image to be killed. So that, for me, fits almost perfectly the descriptions of the abomination. There is no anything else in the Bible that could fit that. Nevertheless, you know, it's an interpretation. You don't have to believe it. I, in all honesty, I will tell you when something is an interpretation, but and when instead is a straight scripture.
Joseph, I would like you to explain a little more Revelation 13, 12 and 13, still talking about the second beast, which is the false prophet. Could you read these two scriptures and explain it deeper?
We will.
Revelation 13, 12 and 13.
All right, so 12. And they heard...
No, Revelation 13,
oh,
12 and 13.
Pardon, I'm in the wrong chapter here. 13, 12, as you said. Mm-hmm. And he, that's the false prophet, exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast. Okay, so the second beast will cause the world to worship the first beast. It's like a John the Baptist.
So it's not the Antichrist that will make people worship him?
No, it's this false prophet. This false prophet, I believe, is going to be a great worldwide Christian leader, respected, who will cause all the quote-unquote Christians to worship the first beast. Just like the evangelical Christians in Germany, they were following Hitler. Just like the Catholic in Italy were following Mussolini, most of them, understand? It's like a lot of this, a lot of the Christian leaders, they told them that Hitler was okay, Mussolini was okay. In America, a lot of Christians saying that Bush is okay, his war in Iraq is okay, his war in Afghanistan is okay, but these guys are nominal Christians. Jesus said to love your enemy and give them the gospel and save them, not to bomb them, women, children, old people. That's Antichrist. These Christians are anti-Christian. These Christians are ungodly, anti-Christ, understand? A Christian cannot bless somebody like Bush, Obama, Blair, Berlusconi, Hitler, and Stalin. A Christian is not going to do that. A Christian say, no, sorry, my leader is not Stalin or Hitler or Bush. My leader is Jesus Christ. And he told me to love my enemy, not to kill them. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that was 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you said 13 also. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men.
So he will work miracles?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what he says. That's what he says here. He says exactly here. Look, let me read it to you. Verse 14, the next scripture. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles that he had the power to do in the sight of the beast. Yes?
So this is very intriguing and very easy to be deceived if you're not a true Christian. I mean, first of all, you're saying he will be most probably a great Christian leader,
a
false prophet. He will do miracles. I mean, everybody can easily fall for it. This is, I don't know, scary.
That's why 2 Corinthians 5:8 says we walk by faith and not by sight. If you follow the miracles, the devil does miracles too. Like those Egyptian magician in Egypt, Moses would make a serpent, they make a serpent. Moses would turn the water into blood, they turn the water into blood. And so on and on. They copied. They were able to do a lot of the miracles, a few, not all. So it's like we don't follow Jesus because of the miracles. We follow Jesus because we love his truth. We love his sacrifice on the Calvary for our salvation. We follow Jesus because he is righteous, because of his righteous message, because of his beautiful gospel, because his message is loving the enemies. So it's like even if Jesus wouldn't have done any miracles, like when I received Jesus, he didn't do any miracle for me. When I start following Jesus, I didn't see any miracles. Like I never followed Jesus because of miracles. Tell you, a miracle is just an encouragement, a confirmation, but it's not an exclusivity of the Christians, even though the Christians are responsible. You can credit 99% of the miracles in the world today are by Christ and Christianity. And the devil imitates maybe 1-2% through witchcraft, guru, etc.
So, like a conclusion, so the second beast, which is a false prophet, will be possessed by a spirit from the bottomless pit.
Yes.
And he will be the one causing the earth to worship the Antichrist, the first beast.
Yes.
And also he will place the abomination of desolation.
Yes, and he will cause fire to fall from heaven. That's another thing. How is fire going to come from heaven? Well, since we know that the planet is surrounded by demons, All right.
Wait. Where does it say that?
Well, in Revelation 12, it says Satan is going to be cast out from heaven. The devil is not in hell. He's not in bottomless pit yet. Okay.
So it's above us, there is the devil?
Definitely, yeah. Surely, you can see that.
Explain.
In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, 10, it talks about the prince of Persia fighting against the angel of God. You can see in Ephesians chapter 6 that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It's like it says that in 2 Corinthians 11 that the devil is an angel of light. Jesus said that saw the devil falling down from heaven. That was, of course, a prophecy of what was going to happen later in Revelation chapter 13. So it's like the demons are around. You know, the demons, they're not in hell or imprisoned. They're limited. God has limited them in some kind of a heavenly ghetto, a heavenly prison, which, you see, Paul said he was taken to the third heaven. There are three heavens. There are no seven heavens like a Muslim believe. There are three heavens. The first heaven is our stratospheric, which you see. The second heaven is where the devil is. All around, like an infestation, pollution, spiritual pollution all around the planet. And then there is a third heaven above that, controlling everything. That is God's heaven. And that's the heaven where Paul in Corinthians said that he was in 2 Corinthians. He was raptured. He was taken. 2 Corinthians 12, right? Over there, he say he was raptured, taken to the third heaven. So there are three heavens. Understand? So basically, what I believe, this is another a little interpretation I have. Again, you don't have to believe it. But I believe all these UFOs that you see, or these alien spaceships, they're just demons. They're trying to deceive the world, I believe. In fact, even the Catholic Church and the Pope, they have announced that they believe that there are aliens and UFOs. So it's like the world, most of the world believes in aliens and UFOs, okay? So what do I believe? Well, I believe that in Revelation 12, when it says that there was war in heaven, not in hell, war in heaven, and after Revelation 12, 7, and after the war in heaven, the devil was cast down from heaven, and he says he's falling onto the earth. Woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is coming with great wrath. Okay, and he persecutes the Christians, and that's a great tribulation. And he even gives the title Revelation 12, 3.5 years. So I believe that the devil somehow is going, most probably, okay, I cannot be too specific, this is interpreting. Most probably the devil will use these UFO and these aliens, which I believe they're demons, okay, to arrive here as some kind of superior intelligence, extraterrestrial coming from other worlds. In reality, they just come from the devil's rinky-dink little heavenly ghetto, okay? And they're going to come onto this world somehow, we'll see. And that's, I believe, where the false prophet is going to get a fire, is going to call fire from heaven from. The false prophet, like it says in Revelation 13, verse 13, he says he will cause fire to come down from heaven. How in the world is going to do that? The only way he's going to do that is that there's going to be some demons up in heaven, some of these UFO aliens, demonic things that will send fire down in a way that he will be able to command, snap his finger. I don't know exactly he's going to do that. Maybe we'll do that in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, and deceiving the Christian even the more. But because of the prophecy, we will know that it's going to be a false signs, false fire, a false leader, and a trick of the devil, because it says he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast. So that kind of goes in with these aliens and UFOs. I even watch a few of these films they made on YouTube, and I even listen to few messages by these aliens. You know what they are saying, these guys, and say we come from other worlds. And then one message said that we used to be angels. That's what it says. You see, the devil sticks his foot in his mouth because of his pride. He said we were angels. It says, in other words, they are fallen angels. Anyway, we will see when we get there. But for sure, don't believe any so-called prophets who calls fire from heaven in the name of God. believe it, it's going to be deceiving. The Bible says he will call fire from heaven to deceive the world. Don't believe it.
Joseph, one more question. In verse 16 about the mark of the beast, it says he causeth all, both small and great, to receive the mark of the beast. Who is he? The first beast, the Antichrist, or the second beast?
Second beast.
So, who?
The false prophet.
So the false prophet will give the mark of the beast, not the Antichrist?
No. It says very clear, he. Because he's talking before verse 16, there is verse 15, and he's talking about the false prophet. Before 15, there is verse 14, he's talking about the false prophet. It's always him. Understand?
So I always thought it's the Antichrist giving the mark of the beast to people.
I know. There's a lot of confusion around today. See, the church and the world has to pray for prophets, okay? It's like the world is so terrorized by false prophets that they don't accept true prophets anymore. So they're stuck with the false prophets only. Understand? The church today, they're scared when somebody says, oh, I got a message, a prophet, a revelation. Scared to death. Okay? And so they're full of false prophets. And the few good prophets, they are not accepted. Because where do you see today in a church a guy, a prophet who gets a prophecy about the end time? No, they are scared to death. All right? So, but the church is full of prophets. Only they're scared to death by pastors who are scared, by false prophets who keep them squashed, and they just don't accept the true prophets because they're so busy listening to the false ones.
So the false prophet, the second beast, will be the one causing the mark of the beast to be given.
Yes, the false prophets.
I always in my mind I had mixed up. I guess that it was always the Antichrist.
Wrong. It's the second beast, the false prophets, who causes them to do all these things. See, the Antichrist is not going to. He's going to stay separated from the mark, from the mark of the beast, because you see, he's going to be fighting wars against all kinds of countries, America, etc. All countries which will receive the mark of the beast. But how are they going to receive the mark of the beast? If they are going to the fighting wars against the Antichrist, understand? You know, we see by other prophecies the world is going to be divided between Israel and America and England, like that, Australia, etc., the Western Bloc, against the Europe, Russia, and the Muslim, China, and those countries. So the Muslim, the communist, the atheist. Russia, China, Muslim, Europe, and the Antichrist in one block. We see the by other prophecies. And the other block, the King of the South, we see that in Daniel 11. King of the South is obviously Israel and America. King of the North is obviously the opposite. Hello. So, and because of this nation, the world is going to be divided pro and against the Antichrist. It's going to fight wars after wars after wars. It's only toward the end. You see what it says in Revelation 13, the whole world wonder for the beast. It's talking at the end of the tribulation, not the beginning, not during. It's at the end. Understand? It's like God is going to keep.
So the mark of the beast won't be from the beginning of the Great Tribulation?
I don't know when exactly. But that, as far as the whole world wandered after the beast, that will have to be after he destroys all his enemies. And that will take him almost the whole 42 months of the tribulation because he has wars after wars. You can see that in Daniel 11. Even until the very end, he's fighting wars. You read the Revelation, Daniel 11, from verse 21 until 45. It's all about the Antichrist. He continually fights wars after wars. So how are his enemies going to receive the mark of the beast? They can't. They're not going to. So the mark of the beast is going to be implemented by a Christian leader. Understand? And officially, the Antichrist is not going to make it look like he's behind it. And we don't know exactly when he takes control of the mark of the beast, that people start going to hell at the receiver. We don't know if it's going to be the first day of the tribulation or toward the end. We don't know exactly. So you cannot be dogmatic about that. Okay, but the whole world wandered after the beast, which is at the beginning of Revelation 13. Okay, that could be actually the end of the tribulations. Because Revelation 13 is not put everything chronologically. Understand? It jumps around here and there. So don't be dogmatic exactly. Okay, so the mark of the beast will not be pushed. It eventually will come under the control of the Antichrist because he takes control of the world and therefore of the mark of the beast. But in the beginning, it's going to be pushed by a false prophet, some Christian leader who's going to try to speak good and in the name of peace in favor of everybody. Blah, blah. Hypocrisy. Understand? But the Antichrist will be the leader of half of the world. I mean, Ezekiel 38 gives you the nations, the Muslims, and the north. He's the king of the north. And we know by Daniel 7, that's Europe and Russia. Okay, Europe, it says Daniel 7, okay? Ezekiel 38, it says he's the king of Magog, and we know that's Russia. Okay, and then in Revelation 16, it says the river Euphrates is going to be dried up so that the way of the king of the east may be prepared. And also, Revelation 9, it says there are 200 million soldiers walking in. You know, Revelation 9, it says there's an army of 200 million soldiers. I tell you, that's only China can have that. By this, we know that China will throw the Antichrist by this Revelation 16. By Ezekiel 38, we know the Muslim before the Antichrist. By Daniel 7, we know that Europe before the Antichrist, you know, the 10 horns of the fourth beast that presents Rome. So, and in Daniel 11, gives you that the numbers of the world, five major wars, a parallel of Revelation 9, which also talks about five wars. So the same period of the tribulations, understand? Praise God.
God bless you, Joseph. Thank you so much.
God bless you. My pleasure.
Anything else about the false prophet, or is that it?
Well, I think that's just about most of it.